Welcome back. Hour number three already. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Mitchell Henderson is back with us tonight. His weekly appearance, and wow, it's really not slowing down, Stephen. And I think honestly that the menu du jour is for chaos as far as we can see ahead. That's what they thrive on. They love chaos. Get people fighting against each other. Same old thing. I had a phone call during the break from one of the early guests on this program many years ago. He was on a number of times. His name is Stephen Jacobson. And his first calling at that time was all about mind control and how it was being used even then, 30 years ago, on the American people ruthlessly. And talk briefly, and Stephen's going to come on tomorrow night. He hasn't been on in 20 years or more. And he'll be on tomorrow night, first guest. So that was kind of fun to touch base, as they say, with some people who played a big role in the early success of the information we offer here. Stephen Jacobson, he'll be on tomorrow. All right, Mitchell, what's going on?
So I want to talk tonight about the Second American Civil War and the Second American Revolution. Okay,
yeah.
So the Second American Civil War will be between collectivists, Marxist Democrats, and individualist conservative Republicans. The Marxist Democrats during their 2020
hold on,
to 2024
hold on.
Dictatorship.
Hold on.
Yes.
Wait. Individualist conservative Republicans. Individualist
yes.
conservative Republicans. As opposed to the phony kind of Republicans that we have and on the political venue everywhere you look. And I like that. That's a good expression. Please continue.
So the Marxist Democrats, during their 2020-2024 dictatorship, instigated a culture war that tried to impose cultural Marxism by official policy on the American people. The central objective of cultural Marxism is the destruction of the family. In order to abolish property, the patriarchy must be destroyed. Cultural Marxism means not just toleration or acceptance of sodomite lifestyles, but the actual grooming of elementary school children into a sodomite worldview. It meant making the murder of the most innocent among us, babies, a fundamental right to be encouraged. It meant the normalization of feminism as pure man-hatred. It institutionalized sexism. It institutionalized misandry.
Yeah.
It meant diversity, equity, inclusion as the state-sanctioned ethnic cleansing of white people. It institutionalized racism. The ultimate patriarch is God, so Marxist Democrats were very atheistic in policy, even to the point that the pedophile Biden declared Easter 2024 to be Transgender Visibility Day by presidential proclamation. Attacks on Christianity were aggressive under the godless Democrat regime of the pedophile Joe Biden. The people rebelled against this and voted Donald Trump into office. However, the polarization and radicalization of the Marxist Democrats has only deepened. They reflexively oppose and attack anything that the people want. The people want to be free. The people especially want to be free of the Marxist Karens trying to dictate how we think and feel. The Marxist Democrats, ironically, start their rebellion by attacking the electric vehicles that they themselves mandated everyone buy. It is ironic because everyone I know who has a Tesla vehicle is, in fact, a Marxist Democrat. Marxist Democrats act on emotion, not on reason.
Uh-huh. And how about the trucks? Have you seen the trash dumpster in India? It's a carbon copy of a Tesla truck shape. No coincidences.
No,
I'll send it to you. It's up at the slideshow on the bottom of the homepage.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I was looking at the top video when I went on tonight. So, so the polarization will spark a civil war. The civil war will pit Marxist Democrats against conservative Republicans. The Marxist Democrats will use lawfare and the judicial system to take our freedom, our prosperity, and our security away from us. The weakness of the Republican leadership will eventually cause some vigilantism in order to counter the lawfare in the judiciary. Kilmar Abrego Garcia's wife has already moved to a safe house because of threats of violence to her. As I mentioned last time, if the Marxist Democrats succeed in bringing Kilmore back to Maryland, he will have a target on his back. Yeah. When he is killed, we can expect a violent response from the Marxist Democrats in the form of George Floyd-type riots. The same could happen in a racial context if the prosecution of Carmelo Anthony is too lame for the murder of Austin Metcalf. I do not think the deportation of Mahmoud Khalil is quite as divisive, but if federal judges continue to hinder the revocation of student visas, it could become a hot-button issue also. Pay attention to the news. The murder of any of these three men could be a spark that ignites the Civil War into open violence.
Oh, yeah.
Since a Marxist Democrat victory through lawfare could lead to the imprisonment and execution of conservative Republicans if they get back into power, the American people are going to have a second revolution this time against another unelected tyranny, the kleptocracy, or rule by judges. Let me point out that this revolution could easily spread to Europe, where judges are snubbing the people's mandates by throwing the main opposition candidates in jail in France, Romania, and Moldova. If Russia was to advance and utterly defeat Ukraine on the battlefield, there would be popular revolutions in Europe to bring down the progressive, liberal, woke, sissy governments that are oppressing their people. Europeans are oppressed by their nation's DEI open immigration regimes. The progressive liberal parties of Europe are also Marxist and culturally Marxist. The American Revolution will be about reining in the power of the judiciary to interfere with the will of the people. As we saw during the Marxist pedophile Biden regime, the Supreme Court, the protector of the Constitution, did absolutely nothing to protect the people's Bill of Rights when under attack by Marxist Democrats. The judiciary has become the enemy of the people instead of our protector. They protect the rights of Marxist dictators, criminals, and illegal aliens intensely. They ignore the basic rights and freedoms of law-abiding citizens. Americans have a choice between freedom and the pro-Marxist kleptocracy. Judges are a direct and existential threat to the prosperity, security, and liberty of the American people. There is no greater threat to the family and the pursuit of happiness than the judicial system. Just think of how we live in a society that asserts women are equal to men except when you are in divorce court. The judicial system of family law is a direct threat to the family. The Second American Revolution will be against the Marxist kleptocracy, and a new constitution will be called for. We cannot let these unelected judges trump the will of the majority of the people. That itself is anti-democratic. Okay. You have to ask why the Zionists would want a new constitution. Under the pretext of saving the American people from Marxism, they can also save Israel from what they call anti-Semitism. This is the end game. The Zionists will win over the Marxists. Remember that Marxism was always the means, but Zionism was always the goal. So whatever pans out is best for Zionism is what's going to win. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So how will this Civil War, Revolutionary War, is likely to play out? Okay. In ancient times, when soldiers used knives, swords, spears, and arrows, the people could organize with these weapons to oppose the rule of the state. They were usually just branded as bandits if on the land or pirates if on the sea. As technology progressed to firearms, it became harder for the people to fight them. Often rebellions would start with terrorism because it does not require the organization logistics of a rebel band. This included assassinations and sabotage. As the rebels became more organized, they could field guerrilla bands in the countryside. Still hampered by logistics, they had to attack government weak points, such as isolated checkpoints and small bases and patrols, often in rural areas. Part of the reason for these hit-and-run attacks was to capture weapons and ammunition while avoiding losing too many guerrilla fighters in a pitched battle with enemy forces. In 1937, Mao Zedong wrote his essay on guerrilla warfare. He suggested a revolutionary people's war in stages. Acts of terror were to evoke a harsh government response that would alienate the people and make them hate the government. This is called raising the political consciousness of the people. Okay, this gained support to form guerrilla bands in rural areas. The tempo and scale of fighting would increase. As government forces got weaker and popular support increased, the Revolutionary Army could start with conventional mobile warfare to attack the government's forces, and they could be defeated in pitched battles. Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam followed Mao's strategy for revolutionary warfare with some adaptations and refinements. Ho had to go from guerrilla war to conventional war during the First Indochina War. They had to change strategy after North Vietnam was formed in 1954. He had to go to civil war between the North and the South. This started in the 1950s with terrorist attacks. But the Viet Cong intentionally assassinated good and honest South Vietnamese officials and politicians. They wanted the South to only have the worst possible politicians and government workers. This would alienate the people from the South Vietnamese government. We can see in our current situation that the Marxist Democrats under the pedophile Biden regime did this to themselves by hiring a million DEI hires in 4 years, bringing the worst possible officials, administrators, and workers into government and then promoting them based on DEI. Then Ho Chi Minh built up Viet Cong guerrilla forces over time and began supplementing them with North Vietnamese regular soldiers of the People's Army of Vietnam. Mm-hmm. These efforts began in 1954, and the first conventional pitched battle between the People's Army of Vietnam and the American forces was not until 1965 at the Battle of the Ia Drang. The first large-scale, strategically coordinated conventional attacks on U.S. and ARVN forces was not until 1968 during the Tet Offensive. The PAVN was spent and the Viet Cong decimated after Tet. Yet it was a great political win as it demoralized the American public and support for the war quickly eroded in the USA. The next large PAVN offensive was not until 1972 with the Easter Offensive. By 1973, all U.S. forces left Vietnam and the PAVN rebuilt their forces. In 1975, North Vietnam invaded South Vietnam in a conventional war, conventional invasion, and just took over. In the next 25 years, technology advanced in weapons, transportation, and surveillance. Rural guerrilla warfare became untenable and impractical because government forces could easily detect, find, fix, and destroy rural guerrilla bands with air and artillery power. They could just carpet bomb the guerrillas in the countryside because there was little fear of collateral damage to civilians. By 1970, most guerrilla bands simply could not function in the countryside. Most guerrilla bands did not have a logistical and manpower base like North Vietnam could give the soldiers to put into the South. This created a change in strategy. The guerrillas needed to fight in urban areas where artillery and air support could not be used without violating the international laws of land warfare and the Geneva Conventions. To level several city blocks to kill a few guerrillas is a war crime. You will notice that Israel right now just levels the entire populated areas with air and artillery without regard to the laws of war. The United States does not just ignore this. They actively support it with the munitions that allow it to happen. How many U.S. soldiers and Marines had to die or get grievously wounded because we had to take Fallujah and Ramadi by light infantry according to the laws of warfare? Right. Israel is exempt and they commit war crimes and genocide with impunity. At any rate, in 1970, the urban warfare strategy and tactics of Brazilian rebel Carlos Marighella were published in France. This included his handbook on urban guerrilla warfare. However, once again, technology even made urban guerrilla warfare difficult and expensive because of all the surveillance systems we have in cities now. I have spoken before about how expensive urban fighting is. It requires a lot of ammunition and necessitates both liberal use of fragmentation and smoke grenades. It requires more tools and training. At this point, rural guerrilla warfare is out of the question. This advance in technology necessitates the use of terrorism. The terrorists can use area weapons like bombs while the government cannot. That is why in Iraq and Afghanistan, it became an IED war with improvised explosive devices creating the most casualties. This gives us an indication of how the Second American Civil War will progress. It will begin with terrorist tactics, move into urban guerrilla warfare as the government forces are weakened, and when the government has lost control, rural guerrilla warfare will become possible. Then we will transition into the Second American Revolution when the opposing forces organize enough to start with conventional attacks and begin to consolidate and hold territory. In the first phase, we will see controversial people be assassinated, like the victims that Marxist Democrats single out to rally their followers against the conservative Republicans. Then the judges and the politicians that are agitating against the government. Then the protesters that are protesting at the behest of the agitating judges and politicians. Armed groups will begin to form self-defense, to form for self-defense. Then these armed groups will go on the offensive in the cities. I suspect that once the Civil War is full-blown in the United States, we will see civil wars and revolutions breaking out in Europe, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. Anywhere with liberal progressive governments, there will be rebellions breaking out. Yesterday, there were major anti-Ukraine war press and protests in France, Germany, and the Netherlands. The people are getting tired of being oppressed by these Marxist Democrats, okay, these progressive, snitty progressive people. These people who call us Nazis, who call us deplorable, who call us Bible clingers and gun clingers, these people that say nothing but talk about us contemptuously. See, they're talking about us contemptuously because they want to execute all of us. They want to round us up in camps and kill us. This is what they always do. They even tell you that this is what people do, and they're doing it to us. So the revolution will be against the kleptocracy and the tyranny of lawyers and judges in our country. The Constitution cannot just be a job program for lawyers. All the evil in the operation of our country and society comes from the profiteering agitation of lawyers. And I'm speaking very lowly about lawyers here, but let me tell you, I've had a lot of experience with them, and I came to the conclusion, not so much what they've done after me, they have done it to me, but basically, lawyers are parasites that live off the misfortunes of other people. They people to the cleaners, cheat people. They make your insurance rates are so high because of lawyers. You know. This went a little bit further back in 1986. I actually applied for law school. I had been a cop for 5 years. And I was thinking about being a lawyer, so I passed the LSAT, and I went down and started talking to professors at the university, the law schools and stuff. And there was something that I noticed. I noticed that defense lawyers always told me that the acme of skill and the thing that they really like the most is when they knew somebody was guilty as hell and they got him off. That's what gave them great pleasure. Okay, and then I talked to prosecutors.
For justice.
I talked to prosecutors that would quip that, the acme of skill of a prosecutor is to convict a person that you know is innocent. People have no morality. When I talked to the professors at law school, you know what they told me truth was? What they defined truth as? Truth is what you can convince people truth is. Look at your world, people. This is a lawyer world. They've created this world where they just sell you on things, you know? You can look at everything in our society. It's all about marketing. It's all about selling you on, selling you ideas. Even going to churches is selling you ideas. So, listen, I'm a very religious person. I'm a devout Christian. But you know, it's just a lot of churches that I've been to, they're outright con games, okay? And those are the people that are faith leaders, like Paula White in the White House.
Oh, please.
Prosperity gospel people. Yeah. Those are our so-called faith leaders and faith advisors.
No. Awful.
Okay, and these people do not know Christ.
Real quick.
Yes.
Mitch, the reverse speech is infallible. It doesn't make mistakes. David Oates is a Christian man, so to speak. He has reversed every major televangelist or Christian leader that you can imagine, from Billy Graham to Paula White. I just had him do Paula White. All of them are corrupt, evil liars and frauds. That's what reverse speech reveals. There's not one good one. There is one. I've never heard of him. There's one.
Well,
the rest of them are all hustlers, hucksters, and frauds.
You bet. Listen, if somebody's like there's a big mega church here in my town, and the preacher of that mega church, he's got $15 million in the bank. Okay, I assure you, if somebody has millions of dollars in the bank, they do not know God, they do not know Christ. Okay, if you remember the story, a rich person came to Christ and says, "Hey, what do I have to do to become one of your disciples to follow you?" And Christ said, "Well, take all that you own and sell it, and give everything to the poor, and then follow me." Okay, so do you think Kenneth Copeland has sold everything he has to follow Christ?
Please.
Or has he taken everything he can from everybody he can, okay, in Christ's name?
He's cheating people. Yes,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, you bet. So, but this is to be expected. This is what happens at the end of the world, you know. You know, we have all this deception and lying. It's just massive. He's just pounding on you all day long and stuff. But listen, it's gonna come to a head, and I think it's evolving very quickly. Okay, it can't just keep going on and on and on. At some point, you know, there's a point of a point of no return. It's an all or nothing threshold. Either there's a rebellion or there's not, and we're enslaved, you know. So, you know, the thing is the Marxists use democracy, use the Constitution as a weapon to oppress us, to beat us into submission. Okay? Just think about if you go to Harvard, or you go to Yale, you go to these law schools. You know, when I looked at the curriculum of law schools, they wouldn't even talk about the Second Amendment. Not even mention
really?
It. They didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want you to know it. They didn't want you to think about the Second Amendment at all.
And what should they do? They should start out with the Constitution and go right down the list and say, these are what we're building this entire educational process on. You better know these backwards and forwards, or whatever. But they don't talk about it. Wow.
Well, listen, it's just like, Jeff, it's just like you're listening to all these politicians, Jamie Raskin, all these disgusting human beings. What they're saying is you have to have due process of law. Let me assure you something. During the show trials of the purges that Stalin had, back in the 1930s, all those people that were sent to their deaths, they were sent to their deaths through the due process of law. Went through the due process of law to be executed. Okay, go to any country that has these mass purges and executions, there is a due process of law. But they do that. The Taliban, before they execute you, the Taliban goes through a due process of law. So that doesn't mean anything. The results are going to be the same, okay? When all the judges are liberal progressive Marxists, when all the lawyers are liberal progressive Marxists, guess what? The game is rigged against you. They're rigged against people that want to think for themselves. The last thing they want you to do is think for yourself. You know, they just don't want you to do that. You know? They want you to obey and think like they think, okay? I mean, we could see that during the COVID pandemic. We could see that they were making absurd claims. like, oh, if you've already had the disease, you still have to get vaccinated. What is, you know, it's like, what is the matter with people? Why is this disease so different than every other disease in history? Every other disease in history, if you get the disease, it gives you the better immunity. But they were telling you, no. If you don't get the vaccine, it doesn't matter if you've had the disease, you're still not immune. Well, if you're not immune when you've had the disease, then the vaccination is not going to give you immunity either. I mean, come on, you know?
No, it's crazy.
They expect us to believe ridiculous. Listen, they do expect you to believe ridiculous and absurd things, like a man who decides he wants to put on dress and makeup and act like a woman is a woman, and he should be able to go to women's prisons and go into the girls' dressing rooms and so on and so forth. We're supposed to believe this. We're supposed to believe this like it is a religion, okay? They do expect us to believe this nonsense. So this is where we are at. We're ready for a civil war. We are ready.
I don't know what else we could put on the stage. All the ingredients are there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all here. It's all ready to go. I mean, it's like when somebody is infected with this Marxist mind contagion, okay, there is no talking sense to them. There is nothing. There's nothing you can say. You cannot reach them. They've like been initiated into some kind of a cult where they're just totally brainwashed, and you cannot penetrate that with common sense or reason.
No, how do you argue with people who don't think about themselves properly or appropriately anymore?
Yeah.
They've lost their way. How do you even begin to bring them to a point of accepting something new that's going to help them? I don't know. It's very difficult. Very hard.
No, there's no logic. One of the things that they do, and this is classical Marxism, is they redefine the meaning of everything. Okay. Like they're
it's called
to
semantics.
Redefine the meaning of
That's
a
right.
woman.
The meaning of words.
You know,
semantic war on humanity.
They just try to define everything out of existence that they do not want. You know, it's just the things they expect us to believe. It's just, and you know what? The sad thing about it is. Their methods are actually very effective. They're very effective at brainwashing people. I mean, when you look at how many people who could see Joe Biden on TV and still think that he was some kind of a great man and that he had intelligence and he had ability to see him and then believe that, oh, he's really a great man and he's got great intelligence. Okay. This is absurd. When your government, when you're dying from inflation and your government's telling you, oh, this is the best economy we've ever had. When we are swept away by criminal violence and your government's telling you, oh, we've got crime under control. When our borders are wide open and every filthy thing on the earth is pouring into our country, they say, oh, we have our borders under control. Well, they're just telling you, just lying to your face about everything, okay? And maybe as many as 40% of our population believes them? It's just incredible, you know?
It is incredible. It's staggering. It's sad.
Well,
they're
I think this is a thing over time. Like, for example, you know, we know that at one time when I was a very young man, they had geography classes in school. And then they get away with it. They just know geography classes. Then Jay Leno can do jaywalking questions, or you see all these comedy shows doing these questions on people in the street. Like, yeah, point out the United States on a map, and they're pointing to Africa or Russia or someplace, uh-huh. you know. And uh-huh. they ask them questions like, in what country is the Great Wall of China? And people reply, Berlin. I mean, this is.
Wow.
So why is it important that people do not understand geography? Well, this is why it's important, because if you look at a map, if you understand where countries are, and you can look at a map and read a map, and you can look and see that Russia is surrounded on the west by NATO, on the east by NATO, and on the north by NATO, okay, then you will be able to understand Russia's point of view. You'll be able to understand that it's Russia that is under attack from NATO and not the other way around. It's absurd to say Russia is the belligerent country. It's just absurd to say that. Russia is under siege. It's surrounded. They cannot give up their south front. They can't give it up. They can't give up Iran, and they can't give up Ukraine. This is why World War III will begin. This is why we will have thermonuclear war. And people don't understand geography enough to understand why this is going to happen. They're not able to look and see that this is obvious as hell what the problem is. But we don't understand geography, so nobody even knows where any place is, you know. They can tell us Ukraine, which is 7,000 miles away. That's a vital interest of the United States. Why? How? How is that a vital interest of the United States? Israel is our best friend, our greatest ally and our best friend in the Middle East. Well, you know, before Israel existed, we did not have an enemy in the Middle East.
Funniest
no
thing,
country
huh?
in the Middle East was our enemy before Israel existed. But then
well,
Israel
we brought it
became
on ourselves.
Our
we were conned even then, and every bit of money that they have has come from us. All
yep.
us.
So,
who else donates to Israel? Other sucker countries, maybe.
Yeah.
Well,
let me tell you, I could see several things happening. Even when I went to graduate school for geography, I noticed that they had a problem, and that every discipline at the university, it wants to grow its student body, so it has to use something to attract people. Well, they didn't want people to understand the spatial analysis of the world, so
right.
they first went into things like urban planning. Okay, that was an application of geography, but that doesn't hire lots and lots of people. Okay, and
no,
then you have geographic information systems, which is just a part of computer systems, whatever, and that doesn't hire very many people. And see, the whole objective is to hire, be able to hire, create and hire more geography professors. So you have
right.
to have a reason for geography. So geography centered around climatology and the Green New Deal. This was a scam so that they could get money and get jobs. I could see that happening in graduate school in 1980. So another thing, too, is that in order to get this degree, you have to put out a thesis, okay? And then if you're a professor, you have to publish articles a lot, okay, scientific articles. And so what happened is you start publishing a lot of nonsense about threats to the environment, threats to, you know, humanity,
right.
to life on Earth, okay?
Yeah.
And it's just a huge scam that just built and got back in 1980. The few people that were talking about climate and global warming, anthropogenic global warming, back then, those were the people with the tin hats on. We thought that they were the weirdo conspiracy
right.
theory people.
Yes.
Okay, they took
it.
Over. The nuts took over the asylum. Okay. Is basically what happened.
I agree.
So.
I agree. Yes, I agree. What is your take on Trump right now, continuing to pretend that he's going to war against Netanyahu and not do what he's told.
Well, Netanyahu owns him. He's going to do what Netanyahu says. I mean, listen, Netanyahu's
agent. I agree. Otherwise, Trump's
going to
be visiting Forest Lawn.
Oh, yeah. His handler here is Miriam Adelson. That's who pulls his strings here. That's Israel's ambassador to the United States is Miriam Adelson.
Well,
no ands, buts, or ifs about it.
Yeah. I agree.
So, but just look at Trump. Trump is, you know, it's like the Republicans have basically chosen him as their leader because he's brash. He's not this weak-kneed person like most Republicans are, okay, too afraid to assert themselves. At least Trump asserts himself. But then you look at something like the other day Trump said he's very angry at Putin for bombing the city in Ukraine. Well, you know, there's a war going on, and Russia has been bombing cities in Ukraine every day for several years now. What's so special about one time he bombs and now Trump is mad at Putin because he bombed that city one time? And Zelensky just sits there and undercuts Trump at every angle he can. Zelensky, a Jewish, Christian-hating Zelensky, who destroyed a thousand-year-old church in his own country, sits in the Vatican, and what does he want to talk to Trump about? He wants to talk to Trump about, we need more guns, we need more bullets so we can kill Russians, in the Vatican, on the Pope's funeral, okay? This is how much Zelensky has respect for anything. He has absolutely no respect for human life, no respect for the West, no respect for Trump, and yet we kiss his butt. It's just shameful, you know?
We won't call Zelensky to account for anything. Pathetic. No. Well, he's protected. Don't forget. You know, we know that.
The Zionists are protecting it.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, the only way that we can have peace and even start really talking about a peace treaty is if Zelensky is ousted, either killed or deposed, one or the other. He as long as he's there, there will not ever be peace. You know, he's human scum.
Yes, I got it.
the European leaders have impoverished their people with this war in Ukraine, and they want to double down. Listen, if they don't get a peace and Russia ends up on the border, ends up just taking over Ukraine, these European governments will topple. Their people will be furious that they actually oppose the peace. These people are suffering economically, and their countries are borrowing money to give Ukraine to fight on. People don't like it. That's what these protests are about in Europe right now. But people are kind of, well, listen, they've gotten so bad at their lying that the people are kind of wise to it, you know? And there'll be a consequence for that.
Okay. All right. I'm waiting for something big to happen. I keep waiting. A lot of you do. Same thing. We expect something big. Civil war? Could be. I think we've seen the Jewish military has dropped its second tactical nuke recently. The first was on the harbor in Beirut. That was big. I don't believe that was ammonium nitrate at all. It was too convenient. It just didn't make sense. They dropped another one. Was it on Syria last week? Anyway, there are two.
Let me alert everybody to this: what we look for is to happen to spark this, but it'll start with something not so big. It could be a little thing that sets it off. A little thing will happen that'll blow out of proportion. Then that will See, they can avoid the big thing from happening, but it's the little things that they cannot control.
Well, that's a good point.
And that's where I think things are going to get out of control, is over little things happening. See, I think people need to... We do have a little bit of time. We don't know how much time. We do have a little bit of time. I think people need to get their go bags ready. You need to get your personal go bag and your
You got to have a place to go, too. Don't forget that.
Now.
The bag is critical.
You need to figure out where you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So get my book, The Final Wars, How to Survive, the Coming Civil War, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization. Get it in there. I tell you what you need for your go bags. You need to get those go bags together now, okay? And also, I keep telling people, read Chapter 9. That tells you everything from China's point of view, Iran's point of view, Korea's point of view, Russia's point of view. If you want to know, if you want to have some clue as to what will be the red line where these countries will go to war and understand why they'll go to war, what will set them off, it's better if you know how they think and how they see the world. And that's what I do in Chapter 9. I try to explain that to you, because if you're listening to the American news, you're not going to get it. If you listen to the politicians, you're going to sleepwalk into Armageddon. So
with or without
you should
your
start
bag.
Getting ready now.
Yeah.
You need to get ready now.
Mitch, I don't obviously want to know, but you have a place you're going to go?
Yeah, I've been prepared for years. I actually live in the middle of nowhere. I live in the middle of nowhere. Listen, from my house, it's 98 miles to the nearest gas station convenience store. And between those two places, there's not even a home, let alone a business. There's nothing. Between
and you're
my
right
house
now,
and that 98
you're not,
mile
you're,
thing,
you're,
sir.
Well, all right, I think I know about where it is generally, but that's really remarkable. Not many people listening tonight can make that statement that they live in a secure area like that, even if it's 25 miles away. But not, 100 miles? Wow.
Yeah, this is. I've got to travel at least 40 miles of dirt roads to get to my cabin. 40 miles of dirt roads.
Well, there are some other people around you, as I recall, of like mind.
There are people. I have within a few miles. They're neighbors, but you know they're not. It's not like you know you drive in the countryside and you see a little farmhouse off to the side. It's not like that. They have their cabins kind of hid away up in canyons and up in the trees and stuff too. So, you know, you might not even know that a building's there sometimes. So, you know, I live in a place that is of no tactical or strategic value whatsoever.
Yeah. A lot of people who have firearms now are Democrats, believe it or not. They've been buying, a lot of them have been buying. Around the home defense, 12-gauge, 20-gauge, 9mm, 223, what are we talking about here? What do you like?
Well, listen, the best gun, hands down, for defending yourself inside your house, and we're talking like you're caught in your house and people are coming in, is a 12-gauge shotgun with some buckshot. Okay. Because you might not be able
20?
To get a good
what about
aim 20 shot
gauge?
Off and bam, bam. Listen,
what
I would do is, for females, I would actually very strongly suggest 20 gauge because this is practical. I've taken females out to shoot, and they can handle a 20 gauge better than they can handle a 12 gauge.
Actually, 20 gauge, I've looked at the comparisons. I don't have your background, but it says 20 gauge, almost the same reach, almost the same FPS. They're very good.
Yes. Yeah, it's all right. It's just that one thing I always want people to keep in mind when they buy a gun is try to buy a gun that fires the ammunition that the government has. Okay, so the government uses 12 gauge.
Good point.
that's a good gauge to have. But there's a lot of government shotguns, from local police to the federal government. They all have 12-gauge shotguns. But they all use .223. They all use .308. There's a while they drifted away from the 9mm, but a lot of places have come back to the 9mm now.
How are you going to beat that? I don't know how you can beat that.
I mean, it's just so if the government has all these guns, that is that means that the ammunition companies are pumping out a lot of ammunition for them. Okay.
Speaking about pumping, are we talking about a pump 12 or a semi-auto 12? There's Benelli's.
Well, a semi-auto 12
is a very expensive 12 gauge. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, a semi-auto is pretty good. I mean, it's a rate of fire. Let's say you're out in the bush, like in Vietnam, we use a 12 gauge shotgun for the point man, and the idea is the idea there was suppressive fire. Because just think about it, each shell has about 9 32 caliber bullets you're pumping out each time you pull the trigger, so you can lay a lot of lead out there really fast. And in Vietnam, because of the bush and stuff, they develop flechettes that will penetrate the bush easier, so that you've got about 20 flechettes in each round. If you've got a semi-auto and you got 10 rounds in there, that's 200 rounds of little arrows you're just spraying out there in front of you. So
let's help our friends out with brand. Now the SEALs use, I think it's a Benelli. Anyway, there's two Italian semi-auto 12s that are in the running. Then you got Remington, but that's a generally speaking a pump version, TAC. Pump tactical version.
Winchester. Mossberg.
But these are pumps, aren't they?
Yeah, pumps. Automatics. The automatic that I like is, and it's an older model, but I really like it. It's a Benelli HK. Heckler and Koch and Benelli got together on it. That thing is so fast that by the time you fired the last round, by the time the first round you fired hits the ground, you fired all the rounds in the gun. Okay,
jeez.
So that's a very fast firing.
Just keep
shotgun.
Squeezing the trigger. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Just that's called a Benelli HK. Interesting. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's a Benelli HK.
They still sell them new?
So listen, it's just like driving a car. I mean, you can have a You can have a Volkswagen or a Yugo, or you can have Rolls Royce or a Mercedes. Okay?
Well, that's damn near a $1,500-$2,000 shotgun, though. So
sure.
We're okay with a $500 Remington 870 pump TAC. We're fine.
Yes. Yeah. Listen, there's nothing wrong with a Winchester, or Remington, or Mossberg. There's nothing wrong with those shotguns. Nothing wrong with them at all.
They will
handle it. Okay. So, it's good to have that. A shotgun is, just think about it. When the police are going out there on patrol and they have to have a firearm to handle whatever's coming up, like say there's people breaking into a building, what is their weapon of choice? A shotgun. Right?
You know what else? So, it's coming to pass now. 12 gauge for drones.
Yes. The Russians use 12 gauge shotguns to shoot drones down.
Yep. So I would think that's another consideration. Anyway. Either way, you got to get with it. Get ready. Time.
You got to get your go
ammo
bag ready.
Time.
Yep.
Yeah. Mitchell, thank you. Excellent as always.
You're welcome.
We'll stay in touch. Take care. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All righty. Okay, gang. That's it for tonight. Monday off and running again. Yeah, I think it's time. Go bag time. Be ready. You never know. And I hope most of you can figure out some reasonably safe place as a destination. All right. Back with you tomorrow night. Thanks for being here. Talk soon.